Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Sirius XM Channel 80. There we go. Just add it to the list. ESPN Plus, we're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Listen, it's been that kind of day around here, all right?
Yeah,
we're not operating at peak efficiency on this show today.
Why? And that's like I have been. I've been good.
Wow.
Speak for yourself.
Honestly, I was just about to say what she said. Speak for yourself. I'm good over this way. You
know what? Listen, that's
Billy, Billy, you good?
We're good over here.
We're good. You can speak for yourself.
Maybe it's cultural.
I am learning about the accountability of people on this show, and that's okay. I understand we got a lot of me's and not a lot of we's, and that is okay around here.
Wait, producer Shannon, nod if you're good. Tell me if you're good. He winked. He's good too. So I don't know what's going on with you.
That's fine. You know what? I will shoulder the load for what's going on around here. That one is on me. That is fine. That is fine by me. You know what? I'm going to give you guys that little emoji right now. The taking notes emoji going down here right now. Dan Orlovsky is going to come around here in about a half hour and inflect a little accountability into this show. We got more of our mock draft rolling along. Plus, apparently, we're going to turn the mic over to Billy and Cliff at some point here because we've got a lot of Philly news. So we're going to go good John, bad John, which means that nothing will be the Eagles or Philadelphia's fault if past precedent is going to hold in the future here. But today, in the meantime, we also got news out of the world of college athletics. You know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one way this possibly goes.
Yes.
Name, image, and likeness bills. Alabama trying to get out in front of the charge right now. Predictable? Yeah, probably a little bit. Let's get to it in one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
One and Done is brought to you by Napa. Whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you because their motor never quits. That's Napa know-how. Jhené, we had news yesterday in the world of college football that Alabama's governor was signing a name, image, and likeness bill into law. Now, originally, Florida was supposed to be the first state to market with their bill legalizing athletes' ability to monetize and profit off of their name, image, and likeness at the collegiate level. But now this bill will put Alabama right at the forefront with them. Jhené, do you think this is a moment where we all of a sudden start to see more states pushing and bullying the NCAA into blowing the lid off this thing sooner than they want?
Oh, absolutely. Let me tell you this. Now, you mentioned the governor. Well, the sponsor of the bill was Representative Kyle South. He's a Republican from Fayette. And he said that the main purpose was to make sure Alabama universities are not at a recruiting disadvantage because the state does not have such a law in place. And so I found that fascinating that now, you know, a lot of the crowd has been, well, we have to protect the sanctity of college sports. We have to protect the athletes and amateurism because what would the sport be without that? Actually, with the tides turning on name, image, and likeness, now, especially top institutions where we see teams literally win national championships, they're worried about being at a disadvantage because one school, one state might have this and another state may not. And I'm not surprised to see Alabama do a nice quick 180.
College athletics has always been and will always be about one thing, recruiting. And this is just, make no mistake about it, another form of going out here and recruiting. Because you saw, yes, both athletic directors from Alabama and Auburn, the two premier schools in that state when it comes to athletics, both out in support of this because you're right. They understand what everyone else is going to see. That if the NCAA doesn't get off their you-know-what and actually make something happen without all the fun guardrails that they're trying to put in to limit what players can actually do in making money, these schools are going to make it really complicated this fall because, Jhené, everyone's worst nightmare in this entire thing has been, well, the big schools and the powers, they'll be able to offer everyone more money than they already do right now and somehow tilt their power even more in their favor. You want something to tilt power in favor, let the NCAA leave this in the hand to individual states. There should be a surprise to no one that the Alabama Crimson Tide are happen to be in the state that is going to go first to market with all this. You think Nick Saban and these guys are about to get left in the dust by anyone else in this? But Jhené, you're out in Pac-12 country. Is the last thing that a conference like the Pac-12, that a conference like the ACC outside of Clemson really wants is to have another thing working against it when it comes to trying to battle this behemoth? I don't think so.
No, and that's why this is probably going to happen quickly. And I think it's important to also note that Kyle South, the Republican representative that I mentioned, said that, of course, like this, the important parts of this is that, let me pull it up. You have to make sure that the NCAA has rules in place to govern this before it actually happens. But if so many, you know, states are saying this is important and this is where the tides are turning and we're willing to make this change, it's just going to preempt the NCAA to make this change quicker because, you know, it's crazy to think, Junior, that in the big scheme of things, we're evaluating college very differently now than we did even in our time. And I went to school in 2010 to 2014. If there were options for me to even think about my career differently, like maybe I can make a little money by going to this school or going in this state versus not, that would change the landscape of a lot of decisions. And so it just is fascinating that this will affect recruiting, which probably has a ripple effect where most states will look to see this as a precedent and say, we need to actually get on board. And hopefully the NCAA will sort of speed up their timeline and results of this as well.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Aguimike, Alabama's governor, signing in to law a bill that will allow athletes to make money off their name, image, and likeness. And that's the other part, Janae, is we know there are a lot of things converging at once in this. Because we had the vote from the NCAA D1 Council the other day that said one-time transfers, cool now. So you have got players with increased mobility that now in certain pockets may have increased ability to make money in all this. This is going to be so much for these teams and coaches and players and universities to try and wrap their head around at one point. That's why you see them all going to third-party organizations right now saying, help us figure out how to help these players make money so that we look like a place that they want to come play sports at. Because at the end of the day, that's still the end game in all of this, Janae, for these organizations. And you're right. They looked around all of a sudden and they just read the room. This is very much akin to a few years ago when Nick Saban saw all this hurry-up offense going on in college football. And he looked around and said, guys, this is bad for the game. You're going to get somebody hurt in here. We need to change the rules. And college football came back to him and said, well, you know, Nick, we're not going to change any of these rules right now. People like points and fun. Nick Saban said, all right, bet. And he made the most point-scoringest, funnest offense in college football, and he has bludgeoned you all with it since then. What does that remind you? The best universities, the best athletics programs have already been working on this. While you haven't been talking about it or covering it, they have been working on this and they're going to be ready for the change. And if you're one of the people that's going to be complaining, chances are it's because your school has not been doing the work to get ready for this moment and be a little bit ahead of the curve in all this. So, Janae, for anyone that thinks that the bigger schools, the schools with all these big budgets and expensive donors are going to be able to tilt the balance, they already have, because those schools, the ones that are run competently, are the ones that have been doing the work on the field anticipating change and, like this, have been doing the work off the field to make sure that they look like a great fertile ground where kids are going to want to come grow.
Junior, this is low-key, high-key, a very big deal. So I just want to say it one more time. Alabama governor signs name, image, likeness bill into law and basically says Alabama colleges cannot unreasonably restrict athletes from receiving compensation for use of their name, image, or likeness from a third party. Athletes could also hire an agent or a lawyer to help them with contracts. That's crazy.
It is crazy to think about, and it's going to be a lot for these athletes. And quite honestly, the sooner schools get their bleep together on all of this, the better transition it's going to be for the people that are most vulnerable in all of this, the athletes that are going to be navigating this space for the first time. There's going to be bumps along the way. You need the people in power to be equipped in handling this. Thankfully, there's a lot of people that care about this. We just need the NCAA to join that party.
And Junior, by the way, can't you imagine the coaches walking into, you know, living rooms and say, hey, and by the way, in our state, you can get paid too. You can get paid too. Like, that's the icing on the cake to a recruiting pitch.
Janae, not only that, but take it even a step further. Walking into the living room and saying, you can make money in our state off your name, image, and likeness. And look at what three of our top players made off the field last year. Look at what the top 10 earners on our team drew in. Look at what folks from other sports on this campus, because of the brand, because of what we're going to do to help market your son so that not only he can enjoy profiting, your son or daughter profiting off their name, image, and likeness in college, we're going to set them up to be a brand when they leave school with the tools they need to succeed in a number of fields.
Okay,
it's
man.
All there if you're ready to take it. Don't be surprised by who the first names to market on all this are going to be.
Wait, does this warrant a Roll Tide or no? Never. Too soon?
Let's not get crazy. But I appreciate you guys. No comment at this time. All right, coming up next, though, we do need to reach someone for comment because one NFL head coach has openly admitted to using rock, paper, scissors as a pre-draft analysis tool. Is that a good John or a bad John? We'll figure that out next here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Dan Orlovsky, one of our favorite quarterbacks, ESPN NFL analyst, going to join us in about 10 minutes here and defend the honor. Janae, we're usually repping for the big boys, the big men and women of the world out here as a post player, as a former offensive lineman. We're down with the thickness on this show. But coming up next, we're going to put on for one of our skinny brethren out here trying to make things happen. The slander will not be tolerated. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwemeke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your business with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. And Janae, we have got our probably most Philly crew with us today on the show. Would you say that's accurate?
Understatement.
Yeah, probably the understatement of the year. You're right. So this is a funny thing we found out here at ESPN Radio. We got more Philadelphia fans, residents, however you want to claim it, in this department than any department at ESPN per capita. And on this show, they all seem to gravitate here. And so we have Cliff, our great producer. We've got Billy, our producer, that's here helping out today as well, representing Philadelphia. And boy, oh boy, do we have some Philadelphia-related news. All of a sudden, Nick Sirianni just decided to become an A-block topic on everyone's shows today. And so we thought that we would take the pulse of Philadelphia around here. We hear the Philadelphia jargon on the show all the time, a good John, bad John. Shanae, can you say it any better at this point?
Good John, bad John.
Cliff, for the people.
The bull.
So, Cliff, for the people, just give everyone a refresher course. What is a John specifically? Because it seems like one of those words that can mean anything.
Hey, a John is anything but a man. Okay.
Because that man is a bull, right?
Correct. Thank you. See? You get it. You got the Webster's definition right.
There we go. So now that we have gotten the Webster's
that
definition
wasn't Webster's,
here.
That was Urban Dictionary, but it's
honestly, I think John is in some actual dictionary. I gotta make sure of that, though.
Well, you know what? Now we have to make the decision. So, Cliff, can you hit the music for me here? Because we've got to decide, of the Philadelphia topics that we've got going on right now, what is a good John? What's a bad John? Let's take the temperature of the world of Philadelphia sports. And let's start off here with the news of the day. Cliff, Jalen Hurts, not named the Eagles starting quarterback. Head coach Nick Sirianni comes out and says that it will be an open competition this fall. Is this a good John or a bad John?
This is a good John because simply for the fact of if he loses out to Joe Flacco, you got bigger issues. So this is a good John. I like the quarterback competition. I hope he comes out on top. But if he loses to Flacco, we'll know that he's probably not the guy for the future.
Billy, good John, bad John. What do we got here?
Man, this is a bad John. We know he's about to be the quarterback. Ain't no way Joe Flacco is starting for us. Just say it already. Thanks.
I will say this to me feels like a bad John, particularly, Janae, because you had your owner come out not too long ago. We had all those reports about how Jeffrey Lurie was saying we wanted to go forward prioritizing him as our number one. So at the very least, what we have here is a failure to communicate.
Yes, this is a bad John, just because, I mean, after making the decision, like, from the management, it literally shows you there's a gap when it comes to what happens on the field. But I think we'll get more with that on the next question, actually.
Absolutely. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. It's good John, bad John. How about this one? From a matchup we had, the Philadelphia 76ers and Golden State were the prime game of this past week. Steph Curry lighting up his younger brother, Seth, 76ers guard, for 49 points, including a dagger at halftime. Cliff, good John, bad John.
Man, this is a bad John. Like, Steph single-handedly won that game for the Warriors the other night. I was watching it. ESPN did a great broadcast, by the way. Shout out to Dorsberg. Shout out to everybody on the crew. I believe it was Mike Breen as well, actually. But, I mean, Steph just lit it up, had the Wells Fargo rocking, and Embiid and none of them couldn't do anything about it. They was hobbling over screens, trying to do anything to get their hands up, and Steph was just hitting them things, man. This was a bad John.
Billy, good John, bad John here, because is there any worry about going forward with Philadelphia, the fact that even though Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris weren't playing, you had your MVP candidate on the court, and they got drummed here?
I mean, it was a tremendously bad, not a bad John, but a tremendously bad John. About how Curry treated his little brother. Like, that is his little brother. There should be some type of respect, but there was none. But, I mean, am I worried? No. We were missing two of our most influential guys on our team. I mean, it was a good game to watch, but, I mean, Curry's just having his way right now, and we should just enjoy that.
I will say this, as someone who has had to deal with a teammate, my sister, they don't care who's in front of them. Even if it's a sibling, they'll try to get buckets on you. Bad John by Cliff on his timeline at Double Cliff. Sixers lost, LOL. We get it. Steph had a good game. Clearly, Cliff was taking some heat.
Hating.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram, by the way, at Double Cliff.
My God.
Yo.
I already said it.
You know what? All right, we're getting away from this. Gross self-promotion is taking over the segment. Good John, bad John. Let's end on the most embarrassing note possible for Philadelphia.
Yes.
Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni apparently copped to using rock, paper, scissors to gauge an NFL draft prospect's competitiveness. Cliff, this is a good John or a bad John?
How did this man get a head coaching job in the NFL? What? Are you kidding me? This dude is using rock, paper, scissors to detect someone's toughness or competitiveness? I'm terrified for the Eagles' future. This is a tremendously bad John, according to Billy Trice here.
Typical Cliff, overreacting over nothing. I mean, it is a bad John because why are you trying to test somebody's competitiveness in that way? But I like it. It's something new. It's different. You know, you're trying to test the guys out.
I will say in all this, Chinee, if this had been a metric for testing leading to my NFL draft cycle,
you would,
first round pick. I'm so nice with these hands. It's unreal.
Easy. Quote, I played a few of them in rock, paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are. I'm competitive. I'm going to be trash talking to them. Are you going to trash talk me back? When you compete with someone that's competitive, they're going to go at you no matter what you're playing. Except the fact that your girl doesn't like playing rock, paper, scissors. I like to play games that I like to win. That's why I don't go bowling. So if you tell me to sit down and this is going to gauge my future, I'm going to be like, miss me with that. Bad John.
Bad John, coach.
Oh, that was French.
Oh, man, that was
French.
Extra French. All right.
That was bad J-E-A-N.
Yeah, that was a bad gene.
Bad
right
John.
French at Stanford? On.
No. Yo hablo español, pero... Bad John. That's a bad John. How about that?
This has spiraled into a tremendously bad John to end this segment, which feels appropriate. So coming up next, let's help out a guy who actually used to live in the Philadelphia area. Head to our man Dan Orlovsky to see if Devonta Smith and the issues around his weight could have him landing all the way down to the Eagles pick in this upcoming NFL draft. We'll do that after this word from Angie. Now, we all know there's a lot of pride that comes with having your own home. It's where you entertain family and friends. It's the biggest investment you're ever going to make. It's the place that you make your own. That being said, it's also a lot of work. A lot of work. That's why Angie is on a mission to help you love your home by taking on all the projects that come along with it. Angie takes all the help you could possibly need for your home and puts it right in the palm of your hand. When you download the Angie app, you can find a professional to fix an emergency leak right when you need it. You're planning a renovation. Well, Angie's going to match you with the best contractor for the job. You can even schedule seasonal maintenance, so it's all on autopilot. Plus, you can see clear upfront pricing on hundreds of projects, so you know exactly what you'll pay all ahead of time. You can even pay your pro securely right there on the app. It's a one-stop shop. We're all already on our phones all the damn time anyway. Do something productive with it. Help yourself out on the Angie app. It's handling your home, and it's never been this straightforward. But now we have Angie, your home for everything home. Download it today. Dan Orlovsky with us next here, Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Well, the countdown is on to the 2021 NFL Draft.
Join me, Elle Duncan, Kevin DeGondi. Full coverage of the first three rounds on ESPN Radio.
Coverage begins Thursday, April 29th, 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
We are marching towards the 2021 NFL Draft, and the debates only seem to be getting weirder. Like, there's something about a quarantine draft that is, I think, getting us all a little stir-crazy. Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinee Igwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and our friends join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and that's where we head now to talk to our favorite, our quarterback, and ESPN NFL analyst, Dan Orlovsky. You can catch him as a part of NFL Live every day at 4 Eastern right here on ESPN. And, Dan, we were a little surprised today. Where were you at on Nick Sirianni coming out and saying, even though we had heard this offseason, the Eagles going to go all in on Jalen Hurts, that he's not named the starter right now, that it's going to be an open competition in fall camp? Did you think that messaging made sense?
Yeah, man. Like, Jalen Hurts is their starter. What are we talking about? The Eagles aren't drafted a quarterback at 12. Jalen Hurts is their starter. Jalen Hurts became the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles the day they traded Carson Wentz. Not the day they moved back in the draft, the day they moved on for their $100 million quarterback. And here's my thing, Mike. Dude, you drafted the kid in the second round for this potential reason. for the potential for him to become your franchise quarterback, your starting quarterback. And the Eagles should hope that that happens. Like, they could be one of those organizations that sits there and goes, wow, we got lucky. We found our starting franchise quarterback not in the top five of the draft. We got him in the second round on the cheap for the next 3 years. And those first-round picks that we have next year, we can rebuild our roster. So I'm not buying it. Jalen Hurts is their starting quarterback. That's exactly what they want. You could tell me about competition all you want. There's no competition.
So that's a bad John. It's Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, also one of the hosts of NFL Live, joining us on Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Now, Dan, one thing that I really appreciate about you and Jr. for the most part is that you both host a show, but you also call games and are in the nitty-gritty of college football. So you've been through also the process of the draft. Dan, when we think about the draft evaluation process overall, projection, a.k.a. future potential, or production, which matters more?
Projection. Because then you wouldn't have a scouting department if production mattered more. You wouldn't have a general manager. You wouldn't have coaches to develop what the potential projection could be. Now, listen, you've got to see it on tape, certainly, for especially the earlier draft picks. You know, like, you don't want a receiver that is big, fast, tall, strong, athletic, and then he doesn't go produce, right? So there is a reality that you still have to have some production, but at the end of the day, it's about projecting what a guy is going to be. And that's where I think so many, certainly in the media world, all of us, we fall like, oh man, this quarterback, look what he did versus this defense. I don't care, because production for a quarterback is a dependent result. What were the play calls like? How good did the offensive line play? What did the receivers do? Because my stat line, production-wise, as a quarterback, could look like I went 25 of 35 for 380 yards and three touchdowns. But six of those could have been wide receiver screens that were 150 yards and two touchdowns. And another one of those could have just been a go ball where my receiver ran by the defensive back. So, like, my production looks awesome, but what does the talent that I have project to be? And I think that we fall on the production way too much and don't talk about how does the player's strengths project to the next level, and then what does his weaknesses and or flaws, how would those impact that potential projection?
Dan Orlovsky with us here on Shanae and Golic Jr., our ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL quarterback on the Goodyear Hotline. Dan, that seems like the crux with what's going on with wide receiver Devonta Smith right now, because everyone looked at a Heisman Trophy season last year, but now is fixated on three numbers, 166, the supposed weight of Devonta Smith at this point. So how do you gauge it there with this particular receiver? What you've seen from him, can his play and the way he goes about this counteract the weight that so many people are worried about?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me put it simply. Quarterbacks, for the most part, care about one thing when it comes to receivers. Do you get open? I don't care. We don't care how you get open. We don't care what's needed for you to just do you get open, okay? Then what, if you get open, do you catch the football? Simple, but that's a reality. And then if you catch the football, what do you do with it? So I don't care if you're tall, short, fat. I don't care. Do you get open? And Devonta Smith gets open. He's got the ability to get open, changing the tempo of his routes, the subtlety in which he drops his hips, the leaning on defenders, the smarts that he plays with. Now, there's the reality that I think there's one receiver in this draft that I could put out there by himself at the solo, the X, the singles receiver, and go, hey, be Stephon Diggs, or be Devonta Adams, or be Julio Jones, where you just win by yourself. I don't need to help you. That's Ja'Marr Chase. Now, Devonta Smith, I think he's going to have to get, let's put him in the slot to get hands off him a little bit. Let's put him in motion maybe a little bit. Let's stack him to help him. But once you do that, just a little bit, that's not a flaw, just a little bit, he's awesome. And so I've played with Mike, you know this, I've had a bunch of guys as teammates at the wide receiver position in camp and whatnot and that were 205 pounds. Dudes couldn't get open. They should have, but they couldn't. And there's a big difference between being the right weight and not getting open and being the wrong weight and getting open.
Janae Ogumake, Mike Golic Jr., Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst, joining us here on ESPN Radio. And so Devontae Smith has a real chance to go top 10, you know, in this year's draft. But let's talk about the top three, because in our mock draft here, Dan, Janae Ogumake Jr.'s mock draft, Justin Fields went number 3 overall to the San Francisco 49ers. Now, do you agree or disagree with our pick?
I disagree. I think that pick, and I have probably since March, is going to be Mac Jones. And if it's not Mac Jones, I think it'll be Trey Lance. I think the way I phrased it, Janae, is if the 49ers take Mac Jones, they're going to win a lot of football games with Mac Jones. And they're not going to lose a lot of football games with Mac Jones. I think he's a lot better than people give him credit for. And I think he plays incredibly fast. And I have said this. He's got the best tape out of the top 5 quarterbacks this year. Now, why Trey Lance if it's not Mac Jones over Justin Fields? I think Trey Lance fits what Kyle Shanahan on the football field wants to do more. Play quickly and utilize the play-action pass both in the pocket and the bootlegs out of it. I think he just has a better skill and talent level to operate that stuff. I also think that it's the potential to hit a little bit of a home run. I think Justin Fields' throwing mechanics are abnormal to what Kyle Shanahan likes to see out of a quarterback, his actual throwing mechanics. And so, therefore, I think it'll be Mac, but if it's not Mac, I do believe it'll be Trey Lance.
And we know that's going to be one of the most exciting parts of the draft. 1 and 2 seem like a bit of a foregone conclusion. The party gets started at 3, and we know Dan Orlovsky will be help taking us up to that moment. Dan, we appreciate the time as always, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
all
Dan.
Right?
Thanks, guys. Be safe.
Dan Orlovsky, our ESPN NFL analyst here. That's the interesting part of it, Trey, because Mac Jones is another guy where, and hearing from Dan about the throwing mechanics, the things like that that are going to be the minute parts of this decision, because quite frankly, Mac Jones is one of those guys that had otherworldly production in an offense that felt borderline unfair at points throughout that season. And so sometimes it can be hard for a lot of people watching to look and see all these wide open receivers and say, all right, how much is this quarterback really doing to help these guys?
And I loved his answer on, you know, projection versus production. And I think he said it in a succinct way that, hey, that's the whole point. We have these departments to project superstar status of these college football prospects. So that was great.
Absolutely. These superstar prospects are all getting picked apart right now. That's what this part of the season is unfortunately all about. We had that happen with the number 1 overall pick. And coming up next, we'll hear from his college head coach, Dabo Swinney, about Trevor Lawrence, what NFL teams can expect from him, and what he makes of the weird criticisms that have come up and people buying him toasters. That's next here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. In the NBA, we have got one injured star returning, one injured star still sidelined. I'm very curious, as we look at two of the biggest powers in the NBA, the Lakers and the Nets, if you had to back one horse right now, who you think's making it farther in the postseason? We'll get to that in about 10 minutes here. Janae Gold Jr., we're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Janae, we just got done talking with Dan Orlovsky about people freaking out that Devontae Smith weighs 166 pounds. And I just want to say, for the record, on behalf of the thick community, I'm speaking as one representative. I know we're not a monolith, but I'm saying as a representative of the thick community, we welcome our small brother Devontae Smith with open arms here. He is buffet official. He is ready to go. He is invited to the offensive line meal because I have seen him go out here and big boy people all over football fields. I believe he's got it in him. I think he's got a thick, beefy heart underneath that skinny body, and he's going to put that on display for people.
Wait, I'm confused. Does that mean that you think he needs to be at the buffet?
Man, there are a lot of things about Janae Ogumake that there are to love. The fact that she apparently looks at the, I mean, whatever you want to call the place where you get to go eat. Now, you don't get to have buffets anymore, as Janae talked about it, in this pandemic. I still can't make sense of that one, Janae.
What he's laughing at, y'all, is that growing up in Texas, we thought that everyone called them buffets. Like, it's not buffet.
See,
it's buffet.
This is all.
But maybe that explains why I say Jean, maybe because it's buffet and it's Jean. right?
I was going to say, you really must have some fascination with French culture because you take all of these words and just give them a little bit of, like, I don't even know if it's called twang, but you just do that. Like, is there some Stanford thing in all this? Like, do you guys all have to take French as a prereq?
Honestly, I thought it was like a Texas thing. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to eat at the buffet. Yeah, that's cool. You know what I mean? And I just really genuinely struggle with John, but like buffet is what I grew up on. So answer my question. Do you think that he probably will try to beef up? Well, I think he's good. You know, wiry strong is a thing now. And especially now, you know, I think durability, especially with athletes as you age, getting lighter is better. Obviously, that's towards the end of your career. But if someone is lighter and still productive, I don't think you have to change too much. You don't have to reinvent the wheel.
No, Janae, and he's not going to for any meaningful amount of time because he knows this is just about the way it looks. I think he declined to be measured at the Senior Bowl or at something at the end of the season and then opted to wait around and do what a lot of the rest of us did. I left my senior year at Notre Dame after playing my fifth year at like 285 and made sure by the time I showed up for my pro day, I was back at a crisp, clean 300 pounds. Because you understand, coming off a long season like that, you're just trying to keep whatever you can in at that point. And if you're a guy like him that may not naturally be the biggest, that can sometimes be an issue. So,
that makes sense. Okay.
This is the weird stuff that happens around here. Not quite as weird as Chiney saying buffet, but still pretty weird towards the end of draft season. We also had people somehow asking questions about Trevor Lawrence's commitment to football or his chip on his shoulder or some goofy stuff out here because we have too much time on our hands. And so his head coach, Dabo Swinney, head coach of the Clemson Tigers, went on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning and had to address some of these things, including for Trevor Lawrence, a guy who, if you talk about how ready he is for the NFL, how he's handled stardom during his entire time as a collegiate athlete.
He's the same guy every day, Keyshawn. I mean, he really is. And he came here with a great foundation, and you know, all these guys are always maturing, and he's still in that process. I mean, but you know, for a guy walking in off the street as a freshman, you know, he was so well prepared, smooth transition from a mental standpoint, a physical standpoint, just incredibly gifted, you know, as a quarterback, but just, you know, all that stuff that comes with, you know, becoming a starter as a freshman and all those things. I mean, he's just very grounded. You know, he's strong in his faith. He's really kept his life simple. He has a persona about him, I guess, because he kind of always say looks like Hollywood, but he's just a very low key guy.
I can say, remember the Titans has ruined white guys with long blonde hair forever because they're all going to get called sunshine from here
sunshine.
On out. Sunshine. But, Janae, what he brought up there, what Dan Orlovsky brought up earlier about projection versus production, the things you saw versus the things you know are coming, I feel like that's the best argument for Trevor Lawrence in all of this because the offense that he ran at Clemson wasn't anything close to a pro offense. He was not protected in the way any of his peers were in this quarterback draft class, but he has got all the skills and, just like Dabo said there, off the field, he has done nothing but lead. Him and Justin Fields were a big part of that. We want to play movement like every step of the way. He seems to have had what it takes for what's been asked of him in a leadership role and on the field.
And projection and production don't have to be mutually exclusive. Mm. You could have someone that produces at a high level also have high potentials with their projection, and I think he's a perfect case of the both of those.
I think he is, Janae. I think Trevor Lawrence, I know this can be so much about where these quarterbacks end up in all this. That's why we're all so focused on the 49ers. Because if they draft Mac Jones, he's going to look really good there. Because most of these guys, I bet if you plucked all five of these quarterbacks and popped them into that offense, they look some kind of good because they're going to be protected by guys that are paid lots of money to protect you really well. As opposed to the Jets, as opposed to the Jaguars, as opposed to what you're dealing with some of these other teams. But Trevor Lawrence, the physical skills he brings and the maturity that his coach just talked about, like we could see that from the outside, and that's rare with that stuff. You and I both know this. I rarely trust what we're seeing from the outside because you can get a different world inside locker rooms, but all along the way, he's just seemed to have the goods in a way that's palpable.
Yeah, and we're not doing any more basketball comparisons for players. Let's just leave them alone kind of for the time being.
I was going to say, we're going to let that stuff sit off to the side on here. So that's, you know, you heard it right from Dabo Swinney. I don't know how many more people we need to hear it from on this. Trevor Lawrence is good. I don't care what the size of the chip he carries around with him at any time is. I think we're going to be okay here. We should be asking more questions about, is Urban Meyer and the Jaguars going to be a place that can actually make use
that
of
part.
A gifted player like that? But coming up next, let's stick with gifted players. We've got one leaving the court in James Harden still for an extended period of time, and one coming back in Anthony Davis. Which team makes it further? Next, here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.